Good morning, everyone. For those of you who haven't been with us in the past, I'm Joel McGimpsey, a pastor here at Grace, and I'm glad that you can be with us this morning as we celebrate Christmas, as we have our Christmas service. If you're guests with us today, it is a real pleasure to have you with us, and just like to extend a welcome to you to join us whenever you please. Every Sunday we meet at 10 a.m., and you would be most welcome to join us in or outside of the Christmas season as well. This morning, as we think about Christmas and we think about the birth of Jesus, I want to start off by thinking about that meal. I want to start off by thinking about that meal, that unmissably obvious centerpiece to our Christmas festivities, that beautifully satisfying, unashamedly indulgent buffet, that family-uniting, friendship-nurturing meal, that Christmas Day lunch. But before we do that, I just want to pray and bring ourselves before the Lord, ask for His blessing this morning. Lord, we thank You for sending Your Son. We thank You for coming and making Yourself known to us. We thank You for taking on flesh and becoming man and living this life and going to the cross for our good so that You might extend grace to us. Thank You for showing us just how much You care for us, just how much You love us, just how much You are prepared to pay to make us Your own. Thank You, Lord, for saving us. Thank You, Lord, for saving us from our sin, the very thing that distances us from You. Thank You, Lord, for bringing us into a relationship with You, Lord. We cannot help but wonder at the greatness of Your grace, the grittiness of Your determination, and the selflessness of the fact that You were willing to come for us. And for that, we are so thankful, Lord, and we praise You today for sending Jesus, the Savior of the world. We pray, Lord, today as we think and ponder on these things, that You would help us to satisfy ourselves in You, the spiritual hunger that we have. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning I want to start with a question relating to that meal, and I want to ask this: can you think of anything more satisfying than the perfect Christmas lunch? Can you think of anything more satisfying than the perfect Christmas lunch? What could be more satisfying than that delightful feeling you get when you eat those beautifully cooked birds and the glazed hams? What could be more satisfying than the enjoyment you get when you eat those buttery beauties, those new potatoes, veritably drowning in butter? What could be more satisfying than the satisfaction you get from the salads, the sides, the desserts, the cake, the tarts, and the drinks? What could be more satisfying than the perfect Christmas lunch? The reason I want to ask you that this morning is not just to be cruel. I don't want to provoke your imaginations and stir up your stomachs inappropriately. I want to ask you that question because in the Bible, they tell us that there is something more satisfying than even the perfect Christmas lunch. There is something that is far more satisfying than this, which is even good, the finest of food, something we enjoy and delight in. There is something that the Bible contends for that will satisfy us in a more deep way than that, because it satisfies a deep spiritual hunger that we have. And that is that we would find rest in the Lord, inside a relationship with Him. There is something more satisfying than the perfect Christmas lunch. It is to find rest in the Lord Himself. As we think about this idea this morning, I want us to turn our attention to an old book in the Bible, a beautiful old book, a book called Isaiah, which is in the Old Testament of our Bibles. And I want to look at chapter 55, verse 2, where there's this beautiful little verse where the Lord is talking about our spiritual hunger being fulfilled in that relationship with Him. At the start or midway through that verse, we see the Lord speaking to His people through the prophet Isaiah. He's almost like a parent telling the campfire story. He says, listen diligently to me. He says, lean in, listen closely, and our ears are tweaked, aren't they? Whenever someone says, listen carefully, listen diligently, we lean in, don't we? But then he invites us to do something. He says, eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. He says, listen carefully to me, people, everyone, listen diligently to me. Eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. The interesting thing about this verse, though, is that far from inviting us to participate in a physical banquet, he is here inviting us to delight ourselves in him. And he's saying, go for it. He's saying, enjoy the buffet that is before you. Feast on that which is good, but that which is best is me. Delight yourselves in me. He says in the surrounding verses, come to me. He says, come over and over and over again. The invitation goes out. Come and enjoy what is beautifully satisfying for your soul. Return to me. Come by milk and wine without money. He invites us over and over again to delight ourselves in him. The beautiful thing about this invitation in Isaiah chapter 55 verse 2, aside from the fact that it's an intriguing metaphor, you know, it is an intriguing metaphor. The beautiful thing about this invitation is that it highlights two realities in life that we often overlook. The first of those is a reality about us, about humanity, about the human condition. And that is this, that as humans, we hunger for something more than turkey meat and mince tarts. We hunger for something deeper, more fundamental, something that gives us a greater satisfaction than even what the finest meal can give us. We hunger for what Jesus calls in Matthew 11, a rest for your soul. A rest for your soul. There is this deep hunger that we have as human beings. And as Augustine so famously said, that hunger for rest leaves us restless until we rest in him. We go about living our lives as restless people until we find that rest in him. With that in mind, just a couple of questions. Have you ever felt, as I have, that lingering post-Christmas lunch feeling where you have a full stomach and an empty heart? Where you experience something of that nagging realization that this in itself is not enough? This is good and this is beautiful. And this is something that brings me great joy, but this in itself is not enough to satisfy this deep craving that I have in my heart. Have you felt that nagging realization that something is missing, even after you have experienced the finest of things? Have you been feeling that lingering, nagging need for something that satisfies the cravings of your heart? For that rest for your soul. Because if that is you, the Lord invites you to delight yourself in rich food. He says, come and enjoy the banquet that is available in me. Satisfy your heart in me. The second reality that these verses highlight for us, these second thing that we see here is a reality about God. What we see here is that God freely gives as a gift that which satisfies our desire for rest, the cravings of our heart. If you look down to Isaiah 55 again, you will see in verse 1, God offer to us that which our soul truly craves, and he gives it to us as a gift. He says in Isaiah 55 verse 1, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, come and take that which you cannot earn, that which you cannot afford, that which can only be given to you, and receive it as a gift. The amazing thing about this verse here is that we see that God is not only able to satisfy the deep cravings we have in our heart, He is kind enough to make it freely available to us. The task that He gives us is to simply receive it from Him, to come and take that which He gives to us freely. If you've ever wondered how you go about doing that, cast your eyes down to verse 6 and 7. He says, "Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while he is near." He says, find Him, pray to Him, talk to Him, go to Him, seek Him out. Compliment that or going with that. He says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. He says, seek the Lord at the same time as turning from that which you have lived for in the past. Forsake those ways and those thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hear the beautiful promise is that when we seek him out, when we turn from our former ways, when we go to him, he will have compassion on us and he will abundantly pardon us. Not satisfied with pardoning us. The idea here is that he will completely, finish that pardon. It will be done decisively. Here we see in this a God, the Lord himself, who is able to satisfy the true desires of our heart and gives us that as a gift. He gives us the rest our souls so crave, promising that if we come, he will commit to us, he will covenant with us, he will have compassion on us, and he will pardon us abundantly. He will forgive us of the very thing that causes us that restlessness of heart. He will pardon us of the sin that distances us from God. Here we see a beautiful offer from a generous God. We see in these beautiful verses a God saying, I will satisfy the spiritual hunger that you have in me. I will give you rest. But these verses are sweet. They are beautiful and they are sweet, because even here they invite us to look forward to Jesus. In this invite, in Isaiah 55, they point us forward to Jesus who would come and show us what these promises look like in the flesh. Jesus came as the Son of God, God himself, committed to take on flesh, committed to be with us. He was the Emmanuel. He dwelt among us. He tented with us, tabernacled amongst us. He is the Messiah born in the manger. He is the Savior born in the stable. And if you look at his life and if you look at his death on the cross, you see an even closer picture of what these promises mean for us. In John's Gospel in chapter 6, Jesus pulls all these threads together when he reminds us that we can receive these gifts from God if we believe in him as the Son of God and as the Savior, and if we receive him as our Savior and Lord. He puts it like this, using a similar metaphor. He says, I am the bread of life. I will feed you with something that does more than fills your tummy. I will give you something which gives you true life. He says, whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. He says, if you come to me, there will be a permanent end to that craving for rest, that desire for rest. Your dissatisfaction will turn into satisfaction when you fill yourself in him. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. This Christmas, I want to encourage you to delight in the cooked birds and the glazed ham. I want to encourage you to enjoy those buttery beauties. I want you to indulge in the salads, the sides, the desserts, the cake, the tarts, and the drinks. This is a feast fit for a king. But I want to remind you that after all that, don't forget to delight yourself in rich foods, as Isaiah, as the Lord calls us to. there is a great opportunity in that post-Ham hunger to celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior. He, even more than that celebratory meal, is the true center of Christmas. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing promises you make to satisfy us with a food for our soul. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus came, that Jesus was born, that Jesus lived, died, and rose again so that we might have life, that we might have that rest, that we might have that forgiveness, that we might experience that love, that we might have showered upon us those true spiritual blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the amazing generosity, the amazing love, the amazing commitment, the amazing sacrifice that it took to make this happen. We thank you that you were with us, dwelt among us, and came with the purpose of making us right with God. We pray, Lord, that this would be something we truly, truly appreciate and truly celebrate at Christmas time. For your glory, Lord, we pray, and for our joy. In Jesus' name, amen.